Welcome to the Sunday Morning Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by David Baker.
I'm speaking about India, but if you want to apply it to your particular ministry or call, that's fine, and I hope you get a lot out of what I'm going to say. I'm going to start with a verse from Jeremiah that's very well known. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Did you know that God has a plan for every one of us? Sometimes we have an idea of what God wants us to do with our lives, and sometimes we think we know what that is, and other times God really does surprise us with what that will be. And for me, that's been a big surprise, because I didn't really know what God wanted in my life, and I thought, well, surely there must be something. And then suddenly I realised what it was, and that was to go to India. And in a few weeks' time, there's going to be a team from three churches in Scarborough that are going to go to India to preach the gospel, which I'll speak more about in a minute. So India, basically, everyone knows about India, but to actually be there is very different to actually see it on the television. First impressions are, it can be a very strange place. It's a very strange culture. If we can have the first slide up, if that's all right. This is a typical image of India. Very mundane animal to us, but to them, it's actually holy. And if you run over a cow in India, you're in big trouble. So it can be a very strange place. It can be strange culture. So many religions that it's just hard to get your head around it. People worship everything from cows to Jesus to people to trees to plants to flowers to stones. You name it, they'll worship it. Everyone is religious in India. So when we go to India, they think, oh, well, we're British, we're Christian. And they get quite a shock when people go over that they don't have any belief of any kind, and they find out that British people don't actually all believe in Jesus. Okay, the next picture, please. I first went to India in 1998, and we went on a mission, which was another interchurch mission, and we went to a boys' home run by a well-known charity. I didn't particularly feel called to go to India. I don't like heat. I don't like creepy crawlies. I don't like curry. Well, a bit more now, but I didn't used to. And I didn't particularly like India very much, to be honest. But God really convicted me, and he said I was to go. So I went. And the first moment I stepped off the plane, it was like I'd returned home. It's a special place for me. We speak of a special place. To be where I go in India is like, it's like being in God's presence all the time for me. And I can say that India's inside me now. I feel part Indian, even though I don't look remotely Indian. I sometimes feel very Indian, especially when I'm there. So we visited the boys' home there for quite a few years, and then we realised there was quite a few problems there. When we went, the boys were dressed very smartly. They had lots of food. They had lovely beds. When we left, those clothes were taken off them. The food was taken off them. The beds were taken off them. And they were just there for show for when the British people went to visit. And the money that was being sent to this orphanage was actually being used by the leaders to have televisions, internet. You name it, they had it, and the boys had nothing. There was a little bit of abuse going on too. They were being beaten. They weren't allowed to go into the community. They had to be taught in the boys' home. And eventually, after a few years, we weren't allowed to go because we found out what was going on. So in 2004, as a group, we had a dream that maybe we could do our own thing. Can I have the next picture up, please? So through some support, we set up a charity in Scarborough, and we started a college support fund, which was to basically put young people through college in India. But our vision was to help children, the children we'd worked with in the past, who had been farmed out to other homes by then. We thought, well, why don't we do our own thing, set up our own boys' home? So our vision was to start work with the orphaned, with the neglected and abandoned, with those who had been abused and enslaved, and to put them in a home where they had good food, where they weren't going to be neglected, where they weren't going to have clothes just when it suited them to put them in for visits, but they had proper clothing. They'd have education and tuition, where they'd have love, where they'd have a spiritual input as well, have worship, prayer, reading the Bible, and they would be part of the community where they wouldn't be locked away from the rest of the village, but they would live as part of that village and contribute to that village. And a year later, we opened our first boys' home. And we started with 14 boys, and here's a few of them now. If you can put the next one up. We started with 14 boys in a rented house, and that went on for quite a few years. These are the older boys now. They were quite young when they came. Many had rickets, TB, hepatitis, you name it, they had it. Now I can safely say they are fully full of nutrition. The vitamins they needed for growth they have had, and their legs have straightened. They have had the inoculations they need, and they're healthy boys, very healthy indeed. In fact, if you compared them to some of these weightlifters, they'd probably look better than them. They've got six packs, a lot of them. So that grew. In 2009, we grew to 30 boys. Here's some of the younger boys. So we've got 30 boys now between 4 and 17 years old. And they've not been Christian boys. There's been Muslims, Hindus, Christian and Catholic children. All of them have accepted what we teach. They're not forced to learn the Bible or worship, but they all take part. They all embrace the worship. They love worshipping. They pray to Jesus. And I would say that 99% of them would confess Jesus now and be Christian. We also built our own boys' home. We've bought the land. We've built our own boys' home. And that houses the 30 boys now. At the time, we also constructed a bamboo church for a small congregation, employed a pastor, and we had no intention of building a new church. But there was a cyclone a couple of years ago that God put in our way and flattened not a single building in the whole town except for our church. So we took that as a sign to start building a new one, which is what we've been doing, as you can see. Many people say, what about girls? We've got boys, but what about girls? Well, the past 2 years we've been putting our focus on that too. And 2 years ago we opened a girls' home too. So we've not only got Bethel House, which is the boys' home, we've now got Bethany Home, which is a rented property. And we started with 3 girls between about 3 and 7 years old. Now we've got 13 girls. And they are also brought up in the same way. They've got education, love. They've gone from enslavement and poverty to enriched lives. And they absolutely love life. They smile all the time. I spoke last year about one of the girls who was actually 5 years old and was basically a slave for an old couple. She was given over to our care, and she's a completely different person now. So, if we can have the next slide, you can see how happy they are. So they're all in school, every single one of them, even the three-year-olds. They've all had to learn Bengali because most of them are from different parts of India. So they know Santali, which is their native language. They're now fluent in Bengali, and most of them in Hindi, and also some of them in English as well. So they're very intelligent kids. Our boys run the worship in the church. So 90% of our worship team are the boys. And so much so that they're renowned in the villages, because they go everywhere, they sing, they dance, they go to open days, they've been in the town hall doing a program for the councillors, singing and just showing them how much they love God. And this is all through people just giving money in Scarborough and the local area. So God can do miracles. And we've got 42 children who are miracles in themselves. Amen. We also go out into the villages. This is one of the village children. And we do evangelism. We've got an outreach team there. They do ministry among the Hindu community. They're very backward in their ideas, the Hindu people, especially where we go. They believe in fertility gods, gods of evil, gods of murder. They drink fermented rice water because they believe the gods will make them stronger to do their work in the paddy fields, but they're just completely drunk all day by it. So there's a lot of education that needs to be given them, really. So at the moment we employ a manager, we employ a pastor, we employ a children's chaplain, we employ a matron for the girls, we've got 5 outreach workers, cooks, cleaners, and that is just plodding on slowly. Every month they get paid. These are all Indian people, all with a heart to serve the children and the community. Our future vision is to have a mobile medical centre that is run from the church. So we're looking for nurses and doctors in the Indian community somewhere. Finally, we go on mission every year. So we take teams out every October to work in every area of our ministry, really. And in October, we've got a team going from Kingdom Faith for the first time. It's not just me that's going. We've got 14 people in total. That includes SCF and Ebenezer as well. So we've got quite a mixed team. We've got quite a mixed group of people. The boys will be absolutely astounded by the accents, because they're used to Yorkshire accents. And we've now got Essex. We've got Ireland, we've got South Africa, we've got Maltese, you name it, we've got it, and they will just not understand anything that's been said. And can I just read another verse? This is Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. God has created us to do good works. He's not created us to sit in church. He's not created us to have a Christian life that starts at 10 o'clock in the morning and finishes at 12:30 on a Sunday. He's created us to be his eyes and ears, his feet in the community. And not just our community, but all over the world. So why would I want to go on mission? Well, because God's asked us to do good works. that mission can be in India, it can be in Scarborough, it can be in Israel, it can be in Africa. God's not told us just to go to one place. He's told us to go to every place. 2 Corinthians 2 says this. It's verse 14 to 17. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph. He uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved, and also to those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma that brings death, to the other we are the aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? I'll finish it there. So we are God's representative on earth. And sometimes we bring life to people because they hear our message and they accept it. But others will turn away. And when they see us, it reminds them of the death. But we're not to worry about that, because God's in charge of who responds and who doesn't. But we have to remember that we are life and death to people. If we don't tell people, then who is going to tell people? We're the fragrance of Jesus. Another word for fragrance is the manifestation. We are the manifestation of God to people. If a person knows no other Christian but us, then that is their manifestation of God in front of them. So we need to be giving that aroma out. We need to be people that are following the Word and following the Spirit and walking in it and showing them the best we can give so that they see Jesus in us. Because otherwise, nobody will tell them. It says in the last part of the verse that, who is sufficient for this task? Well, if you think you're sufficient for the task, then you're not sufficient at all, really. Because if you're doing the work, then God can't get a look in. We need to be insufficient for the task. We need to rely on ourselves, not on ourselves. We need to rely on God. Can I have the next slide up, please? This is who we are in God. But without Jesus, we're just ourselves. We can do all things, but only through Christ who strengthens us. We can do lots of things in our own strength, but we won't get very far. So we need to be that fragrance. We need to remember that we have the victory, that God leads us in triumph. He walks in triumph with us to show that He's won us and that we have the victory through Him. We need to be a people who use this victory and this fragrance to use every opportunity to be bold, to be brave, and to face our fear. There are many fears in India, but you have to face them, or else you'll just sit in your room and have a breakdown, I suppose. But we can do all things through Christ. We don't have to worry because Christ is with us. We can walk across the room and talk to somebody. We can act on God's promises. God's given us so many promises, and we need to act on those promises. Can I have the next picture up, please? When we go to India, we're following the steps of others. These are three graves that are in Ranagat, which is where we're going. These were a doctor and 2 nurses who were massacred just after the independence of India. They were Christians and they ran a Christian mission. And they were shot and killed. But just after, there was a massive revival. So their death has not been in vain. And we need to take up the foundation of what people have given us in the past. We need to take the mantle up of these people that have given their lives in the past to bring revival. So we can walk in that revival. We can bring revival to these places too. And God wants to use us in that. He doesn't want us just to do our own thing. He wants us to build on the past, to build on those people that have done so much in the past. We don't need to copy what they do. We don't need to think, well, if I'm like them, then maybe I'll achieve that work. We need to be ourselves. We need to be what God has made us to be. There's a quote that I just wanted to read out that really struck me a few years ago. When we get to heaven, God will never, ever say to us, why weren't you a Moses? Why weren't you like Elijah? Why didn't you do the same things he did? Because we're not called to be that person. We're called to be ourselves and walk in the giftings that God has given us. God may say to us, why weren't you a Gwen? Why weren't you a Suzanne? Why weren't you a Nigel? We need to be what God has told us to be and walk in it. We need to stand up and be who we were created to be. We need to do that. It's time to do that. We need to stand up. We need to live as God has told us to live now. Amen. Not in the future, but now. And engage the future to do what God has told us to do. So, as I said earlier, we're going on mission to West Bengal in India. It's mainly Hindu. There's Muslims as well and Christians. If you don't know much about West Bengal, it's where Mother Teresa worked. Its capital is Calcutta. It's got Darjeeling right at the top, and it's got mangrove swamps where lots of crocodiles and tigers live at the bottom. So it's quite an interesting place. I just wanted to share briefly what we're going to be doing in India. Then I'm going to ask the team to come up, and then we're going to hear from them. And also, I'm going to share some prayer points, just so you can pray for us. So the first picture is of the newly completed church. And when we get there, it'll be fully fitted out with windows and doors and painted with fans and lights and everything in it. And that has been approximately a year from the last photo that you saw. So the next picture shows us the inside of the church. So we'll be doing a 2 to 3 day conference, and that will include the dedication of the church. So that's the first thing that we'll be doing. We've got local preachers coming, and we've also got some of us preaching too. The next slide is of the boys and the girls, the oldest boy to the youngest girl. So we'll be working at Bethel House, Boys Home, and also Bethany Home, Girls Home. And we'll be doing crafts and teaching. We'll be joining in the worship, singing in a foreign language. Hopefully we'll be teaching them a few songs too. And basically, the most important thing is we're going to be having lots of fun with them, playing and doing lots of stuff. We're also going to be doing outreach in the villages. I showed a picture earlier of that. Some villages are quite easy to go and preach at. Others are much more difficult. And in the past, we have heard of cases of people being butchered, people being tortured, people being beheaded. That's in the past 5 years. So we're going to these villages. So you need to pray for us. Next one is we're going to be having an open day at Bethel House, where any of the mothers or fathers of these children, relatives, whoever they've got, whether they've got anyone or just distant relatives, they will be invited to come and see how the boys and girls are living, how much they've learned, how well cared for they are. They will be invited for lunch, and there so will be a program where the boys will sing and the girls will sing and dance. I think they danced to Barbie Girl the other year. And there's drama and all sorts of things. So we're doing that. And at the same time, we'll have a boys and girls birthday party, because a lot of the children, they don't know when they were born. So we have an official birthday party for everyone. We're also going to have a sports day with sack races and egg and spoon and all sorts of things that we did when we were little. And they love that. And we're also going to have a day trip where we have lots of ice cream. We're going to take the girls somewhere and the boys somewhere, like a theme park or Alton Towers, somewhere like that. Not quite the same as ours, but... So that'll be good as well. So I just wanted to introduce the team as well from Kingdom Faith. So if they can come up, if that's all right. We've got Joanne and we've got Anne. So I just wanted to ask them just to share a little bit of why they go in and what they expect to be doing while they're out there.
I'm just quite excited going to India, because when David came back a few times and he showed slides, I said, no, not yet, no, no, no. And the last time he was over and he showed a slide, I thought, I want to go to India just to be with the people, to come out of my comfort zone, to mix with the village people, the children, and just to show them love and just have fun with them. That's what I just want to do. It's my heart.
Namaskar to me, Palo Acho. I've been learning. That means, hello, are you good? And your response to that will be, Ami Palo Acho. So, namaskar to me, Palo Acho. See? Bengali. I've been learning Bengali, and I hope that they can understand my Bengali. Yeah, what was I going to say? Last year, I was asked to have a role in the charity of Stepping Stones, and I wanted to go and see the orphanage for myself before I said yes. And although David said, the minute you see it, you're going to say yes anyway. You know, it's important to hold on to prophecies when they're given to you, and there's various prophecies that aren't there yet in my life. And one of them, Pastor Paul, had over me. Well, God spoke to me through Pastor Paul with a prophecy that I was going to be going to the nations. And, this is interesting. This is a different nation, isn't it? So I'd normally only gone to different nations in my cooking delights. So this will be interesting to go to India for that. There's a lot of people that work really hard in the house and in the homes. And I personally want to go just to support them, and I think we've managed, I might be able to go and work in the kitchens and support them and just really just tell them how much Jesus loves them. They will know that already, but just to encourage them, because they work tirelessly, and obviously I might pick up a few tips to bring back with me. So if you get an invitation, you'll know it's Indian food I'll be cooking. Yeah, come on, yeah, I love cooking Indian. So that's basically why I'm going. There's other reasons as well, and if you want to know other reasons, then you can ask me myself, but okay.
Thank you. Okay. So, finally, I just wanted to share a few prayer points for you. We are having a little bookmark being made so we can give them out to people. So they've got all the prayer requests on one side and all the agenda of what we're doing on the other side. So that should be ready in a few weeks' time. So the first prayer point is to pray for our transport. Or more correctly, when we go to India, that we're safe. Because if you've seen the television programs, you'll know that the only rule in Indian highway code is if your vehicle is bigger than somebody else's, then you've got the right of way. And if you don't get out of the way, then that's just tough. So we need prayer for travel there and back from the airport. We also need a bus, if anyone knows of a bus, because we haven't got one yet. But mainly protection while we're in India. The roads are very busy. In England, if you beep your horn, you can get fined. In India, if you don't beep your horn, you'll get fined. Because the horn is used every single minute of every single day, 24/7. And you'll hear people basically with their hand on the horn the whole journey. And it's to show people that they're on the way, and if they don't get out of the way, then they're squashed, basically. And you'll see anything from lorries to cars to rickshaws to bicycles to cows on the road. You name it, it's there. And everything just weaves in and out of each other. So that's the first prayer point, is protection on the roads. And we will be using these transportation. We'll be going on the trains, on the buses, on rickshaws. So yeah, we need your protection there. Prayer for protection. The second thing is good health. There's lots of creepy crawlies. Here's one of them. And it is that big. That's the innocent one. They're not as nice as that. Some are much more horrible. There's bugs there's mosquitoes for a start off. There's scorpions, spiders, snakes. There's centipedes that'll eat your brains. And you name it, they'll do it. And there's also monkeys as well, quite big monkeys. So yeah, there's lots of wild animals, lots of wild dogs, jackals, tigers, crocodiles. So yeah, we need protection from the local wildlife. It's very hot in India, and the water's not... We can't drink the water at all. So everything we do, we have to use bottled water. And also the food. It's very easy to get food poisoning. So we need protection from that as well. So that's quite a few points. The next one is to adjust to the culture quickly. It's such a different place. It's almost like going to another planet. So we need to adjust to the culture quickly. This next slide is... I couldn't find anything that went with this, but to have fruitfulness in everything that we do. So this is a fruitful tree. And so we need fruitfulness in everything we do. There's no point going if we're not going to see God work. And finally, we need unity in the team. There's 14 of us, all from different backgrounds, all from different churches, all from different languages even. And we need to be able to be in unity with each other. So those are the prayer points. I just want to read a final verse as we finish, and then that'll be it. This is what Gemma read the other week, actually, but I'd already prepared to read this, so it's quite a surprise that she read it out. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of oppression, to untie the yoke of slavery, to let the oppressed go free. Is it not to share your food with the hungry, to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them, and not turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go forth before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, I am here. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and with malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will shine in the darkness. Your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of the broken walls, restorer of the streets and dwellings. And we go to repair people's lives, to restore people, and to restore that revival that was once there and has dwindled. We're there to be salt and light and the fragrance of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.